The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 7th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And we got a great show on tap for you today. It's Wednesday, which means Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be with us. Georgia fall camp well underway, just as is Auburn and every other team around college football. So we'll get some updates from Athens, maybe talk a little bit more about that schedule as well for Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs. So that's coming up at 2:30, and then the newly integrated Double D Wednesday. That's right, Daryl Dappert will be with us coming up in hour number two as well. 3:15 to 3:45, Daryl Dappert from Auburn Daily, Locked On Auburn, Montgomery radio legend will be with us coming up in hour two. We're going to talk fall camp with him, maybe a little bit more basketball talk as well. And so, really looking forward to that conversation with Double D coming up in hour number two. Hope you're doing well. It is a sunny and hot day once again. You've got fall camps happening everywhere for college football. High school football is underway, too, in terms of practices because, man, we are 2.5 weeks away from the high school football season starting. Can you believe that? We're 2.5 weeks away. It starts for at least us here in this area, right? Auburn, Lee Scott, and Opelika. Starts on the 23rd, which is 2 weeks from this Friday. Isn't that wild to you? It's crazy to me for somebody that's in the business and has a lot of things to do between now and then. But, man, I just get so fired up for the season. And I can't wait for it all to get started. And it feels like we're here, right? It feels like fall, at least in terms of the sports side of things, is here. I know it doesn't feel like it weather-wise, but it's going to be a fun year, is what I can tell you. And to start the show today, phone lines are open, by the way. 334-321-1390. You can get in on the phone lines. Come in. It's you and me today with some guests sprinkled in there as well. But I want to hear from you on this Wednesday, 334-321-1390. You can also be a part of the show in the on-the-line text box if you want to join in there. You can shoot me a text, comments, or questions at 334-784-1067. That's 334-784-1067. And I want to start today with the notes from Auburn's fall practice today. I had every plan to be there this morning, but things came up, unfortunately, here at the office, and that's how it goes, and I wasn't able to get there. But luckily, there were a lot of other media members who made it over there, and there have been plenty of notes and plenty of videos that have come out of fall practice today. And all offseason long, right, since the recruiting class, since the portal additions, and all summer long here on ESPN, and you out there as well, every media site, every radio show, every podcast, everything has been talking about this Auburn wide receiver room. That's what the hype's been about, right? It's the obvious. Even people outside of Auburn are noticing what this receiver room looks like, the upgrades they've made, and what the potential that they have is. And it's exciting, right? It's exciting to look at Keandre Lambert-Smith, the transfer from Penn State. It's fun to hypothesize and ask the what-ifs of Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson, who looks really, really good right now. Christian Griffin and I talked about that yesterday on the show. It's really cool to see some of the other young guys that are in there too, the Malcolm Simmons of the world, the Bryce Canes, even the Rivaldo Fairweathers in the tight end spots. right? That's been the talk all offseason long. But what really gets me excited and what really gets me fired up in a good way on this Wednesday is how well the defensive backs are playing early in this fall camp. And that seems to be the general consensus coming out of practice today. Because there's been a lot of concern there in terms of, okay, outside of a Keontae Scott, who else? Who else is going to be able to step up and be the man? Because there's, as Hugh Freeze has said on numerous occasions, there's a lot of young guys in there. Believe the term Freeze used was young puppies that were going to be playing early and playing often this upcoming season. But the question was going to be, who? Which ones? Who was going to be playing early and often in the DB's room, in the corner's room, right? In the safety line. Who else was going to be stepping up to play? And there are so many different options. I look back to just a couple of weeks ago when Jack Hutton joined us. T-Bone was with me on that Friday, and we did our Auburn football draft, and we drafted a couple of DBs, right? I drafted Terrence Love and Sylvester Smith. Jack took Keontae Scott and Antonio Kite, and T-Bone took Jared Thompson and Kayan Lee, who are all great players. And guess what? A lot of those same names are the ones making plays right now in fall practice, in fall camp. And there's a guy in there that we didn't even take. We didn't even pick. The video that's gone viral on Auburn Twitter today is the play of J.C. Hart versus Perry Thompson. A one-on-one drill. Thompson gets it thrown up to him, goes up on the corner route, gets it in his hands. He goes up and makes the catch. But J.C. Hart knocked it out and had the PBU, the pass breakup. It was a catch by Perry until J.C. Hart said otherwise. That's what I want to see. That is what Auburn has to have going into this season. And J.C. Hart's not the only one. He had a great day. Had a great day. Also had an interception today in the end zone as well. I believe Walker White was the one that threw that pass. You look at other guys who are making noise. Antonio Kite had a good day, as far as I've heard, as far as I've seen. Heard he shut down Cam Coleman once. That's awesome. That's fantastic. You continue looking just on this roster on, okay, who could it be? Who could step up and be that guy other than an Antonio Kite as a sophomore? Could it be Terrence Love as a safety, as a sophomore, okay? Kayan Lee is a sophomore. And Hugh Freeze had the quote saying, that guy's going to be in the NFL. Going to be playing on Sundays. There's a lot of different options here, folks. There's a lot of different options on who it could be in the back end. And this seems to be a trend that Auburn is in right now. Because look at Sylvester Smith or J.C. Hart, both freshmen on this team, one being a safety, one being a corner. You still have Caleb Wooden back there. You still have some experience with Wooden and Keontae Scott. But they can't do it all, right? They can't play it all. Don't forget about Champ Anthony. I think he's a good one too. But this is a good problem that Auburn is running into. And it's not just in the DB's room. It's all over the board. There's a lot of dudes in there. And these aren't just names anymore, because fall camp is fully underway. This is the first full week of practice, and we've already got guys making plays like this. You already are seeing viral videos in the Auburn circles. You're hearing great things about that group, and I can't wait for Hugh Freeze to take the podium on Friday morning, and I'll be there for that. And if I don't get beat to the punch, I have a feeling there will be multiple questions about the safeties and the corners on which young guys have stood out, which ones have separated themselves, which ones do you trust right now outside of your proven guys, your proven leaders already. I'm sure there will be numerous questions, more broad questions like that, and allowing Freeze to tell us what he thinks. Or maybe there will be a specific question about, hey, what have you seen from J.C. Hart? What have you seen from Kay and Lee? What have you seen from even Keontae Scott, who's played a lot of college football? Right? I'm fired up about this. And again, I say that in a good way. That fired up usually has a negative connotation to it, but that's not the case at all. You should be excited about this too. Because, yes, you do want to see these receivers making plays and not getting beat and beating the defense. But man, that's a good problem to have when your guys are making plays on the defensive side of the football. And that's what this is. The short amount of stuff that we've seen, I guess the short amount of time and the small amount that we've seen, there have been very few mess-ups by the receivers. And what I mean by that, very few mistakes. There haven't been, as far as we know, and this could be a question for Hugh Freeze on Friday as well, there haven't been very many mistakes. There hasn't been running the wrong routes, dropping passes very much, right? Miscommunication, not getting open, not getting separation, right? Not blocking on certain plays. I know they've been working on that a little bit, especially with the running backs too. I haven't seen or heard a whole lot about that. And so at the end of the day, if there's anybody concerned with, well, is the receiver room going to live up to it? If the DBs are just making plays everywhere, maybe the receivers aren't as good as we think they are. That's false. Don't let that seep into your mind. Don't let your brain convince you that, okay? Because that's not the case. The dudes on the back end are just making some plays. And that's what you want to see. You want to see, especially with these guys being so young, sophomores and freshmen, in what? The first, we're not even technically a week in, and they're already going viral. Yeah, we've had Cam Coleman crazy catches and Perry Thompson crazy plays already, but we've got a healthy balance of that. You don't want one group to dominate the other. There are times early in camp where defensive lines typically have an advantage on the offensive line before there's communication and knowing who goes where. That's obvious. That happens everywhere at the beginning of camp. But if you have a healthy balance of, man, offensive line got them that time. Oh, okay. Look at the defensive line. That was a great bounce back. You want the same thing. And the reason I bring this up today is because the DBs are winning. And that's a good thing. It's okay. Don't worry about the receivers. They're going to be fine. I promise. There's enough of them. And there's been great things said and seen by a lot of those guys. But we've known that they were going to be good. We know that the receivers are going to work out. The DBs have had a big question mark and a big, I don't want to say concern, just a question mark about what they were going to be. And so far early on in camp, it seems to be going in the right direction. Let's get to our first break here in hour number one. We've got a phone call to get to when we get back. You can be a part of this as well. 334-321-1390. We'll get to the phone lines when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Had a phone call, but they backed out, and so we can still take phone calls if you want to. 334-321-1390. A reminder that coming up at 2:30, we will have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be with us talking all things Georgia football, getting some updates on position battles, health things. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule and stuff, and so we'll have a lot of fun with Jordan coming up in about 10 minutes. 10 or 12 minutes. And so, again, you can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390 by calling in, or you can shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. And I've been quoted as saying a few times throughout this offseason, and my opening bit, I think, backs this up, that I believe for Auburn this year, for Auburn football, that is, I believe that the defense is underrated right now. And I believe, and this is where I want to get to, I believe that the defense will be solid, it will be good, and it will keep Auburn in games almost every time this year. I've said this before, and I continue to believe it, and hearing and seeing these things about what's happening in the secondary, I hear there's a couple of names that are starting to rise up the board on the defensive line. The linebacker room that has just a flurry of talent in it. It's kind of similar to that, to the defensive back perspective of there's a lot of guys in there, but who's it going to be type of thing? Is it going to be Eugene, who we know is going to be awesome, who, again, is with us for Tiger Takes this season? Looking forward to that here on ESPN. Is it Austin Keys? Is it a DeMarcus Riddick, the young guy? Like, There's a lot of flexibility in there as well. And I just have a confidence in the defense this year. And I'm curious on what Freeze says now that we're into fall camp and as we get into the season, if he feels the same way. He's not going to come out and say it like I can. But I just feel that the defense will be there. The defense will do their job more times than not. And if the offense can come alive and find a groove, then this is going to be a really good Auburn football team. And they're going to beat some folks this year. Because I look at the schedule, which I know you probably know it by heart like I do, and we have broken it down quite a few times, but let's just look at it for a second with that mindset at the forefront, okay? So think about this. If the defense is solid and consistent, I think that's a big word there. I think for any football team to be good, I think a defense has to be consistent and consistently good, not consistent like LSU the last few years who have given up 45 points a game. I'm talking consistently holding an opponent to 24 points or less, which is really hard to do in today's college football. It is. It's really, really hard to do that. But that's always been my number, 24. If you are a defense, that is the number that you should have in your brain, you should have in your mind. I'd write it on the whiteboard. Now, I'm not a defensive coordinator, never have been, never will be, but that's always been kind of my number, is if we can hold them to 24 or less, you should have an offense, if you want to be successful, you should have an offense that is willing and capable on any given day, any given Saturday or Sunday for that matter, to get to 24 points. Because that's a competitive score. Anything less than that, 21's fine. That's okay. There's a little bit of room and leniency there. But if you're scoring 17 points, I'm sorry. That's not good enough to win games every single weekend. Sure, there will be a game you win 17-10 or 17-14, right? Yes, I get that. But I'm saying, on average, 24 is a good number for the defense and the offense to either score more than or not allow more. But you look at the schedule for Auburn, and I'm not trying to look past the first three games. I'm really, really not. But I'm also trying not to worry about them, because if we have to worry about those games when they come, then we've got bigger issues. And we, at that point, everything we talk about right now is out the window. But we're going to just say, for argument's sake, that Auburn does what they need to do in non-conference play. If the defense shows up and plays well against Arkansas, Auburn wins, right? Arkansas, I think their offense will be a little better than people give it credit for, but I think Auburn is going to be able to put up some points on them with a new-look offense, all right? Oklahoma, that's a big one. That's a big one. And guess what? Even with a new quarterback, the Sooners are still going to put up yards, and they're going to put up points. That's just what they do. That's what Oklahoma has been doing for quite some time. And yes, it's on the road, And it's their first SEC road game being in the conference, and it is in Jordan-Hare, but they're still going to do what they do. But if the defense is solid like I think it is, it's up to the offense to win that game. It's up to the offense to beat Oklahoma, and I truly believe that. Because you have to put up some points to beat them, and you've got to put some pressure on them to beat them as well. And I think that's something that Auburn has lost a lot of, is scoring early and coming out of the gate hot. We've seen it at times in recent history. But man, think about that as a football team when you come out, and I guess every sport technically, but in college football, when you come out and, man, your first two drives, you put 14 points on the board. You just go back-to-back, bam. That's what is so good about what Bama did for so long and what Georgia's doing right now. And even like that LSU national championship team, which I know that's an offense that may never be repeated in the history of the sports. But that sets a statement. Opening drive touchdowns are huge. Leading early is huge. That helps your defense that, yes, you believe in, but help them out a little bit. Rather than playing three quarters of defense and having no points to show for it or having a few field goals to show for it, back them up. Put some points up there. Give them something to defend, except a zero. That'll help them too. But then you continue to look through this schedule. Georgia, it's going to take everything. Duh, right? It's going to take everything. But then I look through at Missouri. Your defense, if they do their job, and heck, if you hold them to less than 30 points, you're doing something right, especially with what they have coming back with Luther Burden and Brady Cook. That offense is going to be legit, and they're going to be at home. Your offense is going to have to play, and your defense is going to have to play. But then Kentucky, Vandy, it's up to your offense. I trust my defense against those. Absolutely. Every day. Especially this Auburn defense. If they continue to get better and continue to run and grind, and by that point, in late October, they better be firing on all cylinders, and I bet they will be. Your offense shows up, you win. It's plain and simple. Same thing with, of course, ULM. I still circle that Texas A&M game because, man, I just don't know what to expect. I have no idea. None. They've got some talent. They also have a new coach. And at that point, in late November, the second to last game of the regular season, is A&M a team that puts up 40 points a game? Or are they a team that hold people to 15 points a game? Are they both? Are they neither? I have no idea. In that game, you're at home. Offense shows up, you win. And then, of course, the Iron Bowl, you got to have both. I say all that to say this. A lot of that sounds like, yeah, where's he going with this, right? What's he talking about here? I'm saying that my confidence in this defense will be there every single game. Every game. Even right now, I've got it. And that's only going to grow as long as people stay healthy and everything goes the way that it's supposed to go. The defense will not be the problem. I'm willing to bet on that. I'm willing to stake my flag on that hill. The defense will not be the issue for Auburn football in 2024. If Auburn doesn't have a successful season, however you see that is, 7 wins, 8 wins, national championship, I don't care. However you see a successful season going for Auburn, it comes down to the offense. It comes down to Peyton Thorne being the guy who is still taking first-team reps. He'll be your starter, of course. It comes down to the running back room continuing to do what they're supposed to do. The offensive line living up to the expectations that I myself and a lot of other people have put on them. And then the receivers making plays. If Auburn wins, they'll get a lot of credit. If Auburn loses, they'll get a lot of hate. And so many times in the past, what, decade? That's what it's been about. There's been a lot of good Auburn defenses in our time, man. There's been some good Auburn offenses in our time. But it's time for those to come together. And I think that can happen in 2024. I really do. All right, enough from me. We got to get to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He'll join us after this. We'll get all sorts of updates from Athens, Georgia, and what the Dogs have been doing so far in fall camp. He joins us on the phone lines after this.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I'm your man Jacob Goetz on the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. And excited to have this guy on the show as we do every single Wednesday at this time. He writes for Dogs 247. He is the go-to guy covering all things Georgia football. My man Jordan Hill is joining us on the phone lines. How are things over in Athens, my man?
Going good, Jacob. It's what, I guess a little bit over 3 weeks before the start of the season. So football's in the air. Still plenty of heat. Blood, sweat, and tears going out on the practice field. But football's just right around the corner, and I think everybody knows that, and the countdown's on.
Yeah, my counter has 24 days until Auburn and Georgia and most of the SEC gets kicked off on August 31st. Of course, there's some week zero games. I believe another SEC team gets going on like Thursday, maybe Missouri or something like that. But there's, you know, football, you can see it, you can feel it, and we are seeing it right now on the practice field here in Auburn. And I know you guys are getting some, I hope you guys are getting some viewing windows over in Athens as well. What can you tell us so far as we're about a week into fall practice?
Yeah, not quite as much access as you guys. We've gotten about 15 minutes worth of practice a couple times so far. And I mean, really, the biggest talking point for Georgia right now is they already need to get healthy. Starting center Jared Wilson's been a little banged up. He has not been practicing. Chaz Chambliss, starting outside linebacker, we saw him yesterday, and he was working off to the side, as was a few other guys. Those are kind of the two biggest guys that you have injury concerns about, along with Jordan Hall, who is probably going to miss the start of the season with a leg injury, a guy that's been in the mix on the defensive line. So that's sort of been the biggest thing, really, other than that. Heard some good things about some of the freshmen. Nate Frazier, one of the freshman running backs, has looked really good. Branson Robinson, a redshirt sophomore running back, coming back from an injury, and sort of seems like he's ahead of pace from what we expected going into camp. He's had no limitations. They're still being smart about his workload and not overdoing it, but you know, other than a few injury concerns, which everybody's dealing with at this point, and I really have no belief that any of them are severe, just sort of the bumps and bruises that come with fall camp, everything's going pretty well in Athens, and like we said, the countdown's on.
What sort of access to players? I know a lot of times you guys aren't getting a ton of practice viewing, but at least hopefully you're getting to talk to some of the players. Anybody that you've talked to that has sort of stood out in anything that they happen to say about guys on the team, transfers, newcomers, anything like that?
You know, Tate Ratledge, we talked to him last week, and I thought it was interesting to hear him talk about stepping up as a leader. You know, he said, these last few years, I haven't had to be that guy. They had a center, Cedric Van Pran, that sort of led the way in that regard, and Tate's understood that now it's sort of his place to fill that void, and from what we've heard, he's done that, and it's especially important right now with Jared Wilson out. Tate Ratledge has moved over from right guard to center, and again, I think it's a situation where Jared will be back by the time the season starts, but you definitely want someone who knows how to snap, and Tate's a guy that kind of took that mantle on additionally with his guard stuff back in the spring because they knew they needed more depth behind Jared Wilson. But really besides that, you know, listening to Arian Smith, a guy that's been around Georgia for a while, a guy that's about to be a senior, he had a really tough 2023, dealt with drops, you know, didn't follow up what a lot of people thought, you know, had a chance to be a really special season coming off of him scoring a 76-yard touchdown against Ohio State that basically gave Georgia the life it needed to make a big comeback. But, you know, I thought he had the right attitude. He said that, you know, he doesn't feel like he's accomplished what he's wanted at Georgia, that he really didn't have much consideration on leaving Georgia, which I thought was a real possibility after last season, just because it was a hard one to watch. And at a certain point, Georgia sort of stopped throwing his way. I think that there was some concern that he wasn't able to live up to the moment, but we've heard great things about him going back to the spring. And I think that he understands he's got an opportunity as one of the older guys in the room. It's just going to be upon him to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you started to get into that receiver room, and I don't believe you and I have talked since this news broke. I think it was Thursday, am I right, about Ra-Ra Thomas officially being released from the Georgia football team after being arrested. I believe he was released from jail a little bit after that. Can you kind of give us some insight on what that situation was? Because everybody, you know, everybody in Auburn talks about it, but it's been a pretty national headline so far.
For sure, and it was a situation where Ra-Ra was released from jail on Tuesday, and Kirby met with him, I think, a short time after and basically let him know that he was being dismissed. So it's a situation where it's a pretty significant loss for Georgia, that they understand that was a veteran, that was one of your older guys in the room. But having said that, I thought that Ra-Ra was going to have his hands full as far as winning a starting job. Colby Young, a 6'4 receiver they got from Miami, had a fantastic spring. Might have been the most talked about receiver on this Georgia team. And, you know, I think Ra-Ra would have played quite a bit, but now it's sort of on some of these younger guys. Dylan Bell, I think, who could start at that flanker, at that Z spot, I think he's going to play a good bit of X. I think Nitro Tuggle, what a great nickname for a receiver. He's just a freshman, but he's going to have an opportunity to get, you know, some playing time relatively early. So I think they're in okay shape after losing Ra-Ra. You can't just wave it away and say this isn't nothing. He would have played quite a bit and, like I said, had a shot to start. But they've got a lot of options still in that room. They're just going to need some of those guys to answer the call and be ready to play a little bit more.
This is totally an opinion question for you, and you can answer it in any way that you'd like. Do you believe that Kirby released Ra-Ra Thomas from the team because of the incidents that he was involved in, and people can go and look that up. It's everywhere on the internet. Do you think it was because of that, or maybe a lot of the pressure from the outside to kind of get this, all of this under control? I mean, do you have any opinion on that?
I think it was because of the situation. And we're also talking about a situation where in January 2023, Ra-Ra was arrested on a couple of battery charges,
right,
and they wound up eventually being resolved. I think he had done some pretrial. I don't know if it was therapy or necessarily what it was, but, you know, Georgia kind of stuck its neck out then, when I think it would have had every right to dismiss him at that point. So I think it, as much as, you know, I can understand it being like, all right, we gotta send a message, we gotta, you know, make an example of somebody. I think it's more of, all right, this has happened again, and that there was no excuse the first time, and very clearly, you know, there was a habitual problem there. So I don't think it was necessarily a chance to sort of make Ra-Ra a scapegoat, especially, you know, when you look at a lot of these situations. Obviously, it's very dangerous to drive fast and to drive reckless, but
sure,
a totally different situation than, you know, drawing a charge of battery and cruelty to children. I think that given, you know, the fact that Ra-Ra had been in trouble before, that, you know, Georgia felt they had no choice. They had to dismiss him. And I think, you know, unquestionably, that was the right decision.
Yeah, that's well said, and I appreciate you, you know, kind of putting your words into that as well. Talking with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, the Georgia 24/7 sports site. You can find all of his coverage there at dogs247.com. Looking at this schedule, we've talked about this a little bit as the season gets closer. There's a ton of talk here in Auburn about what if Auburn is 5-0 when they go to Athens. But I got to ask, do you have a confidence meter on if Georgia could be undefeated when Auburn rolls into town? Because you have Clemson to start at Kentucky week 3, and I feel like Auburn fans are forgetting that Georgia goes to Tuscaloosa the week before the Auburn-Georgia game. I mean, what if Georgia is undefeated when Auburn comes to town?
Yeah, I mean, I think that trip to Tuscaloosa is going to determine whether or not Georgia's undefeated. And I say that not to say that they couldn't get beat in some of those other games. I mean, you look at Clemson, I think Clemson comes into that neutral site game where, yeah, there's going to be a lot of red, but I would feel pretty confident Clemson's going to bring their share of fans. You know, they have a chip on their shoulders, and I think that there would be nothing that would reassert Dabo and his program as one of the premier teams than to beat Georgia. And if I'm Clemson, that week one is when I would want to be playing Georgia. They still got a lot of things to figure out. They still got, you know, position battles that will probably be ongoing at that point. And then even besides that game, week three, going to Kentucky, you're going to be looking at a situation where Brock Vandegrift, the quarterback that, you know, we can say was cast off from Georgia because he never won that starting role. Carson Beck beat him out and he left. And then on the other side, a very similar situation with Jamon Dumas Johnson, who was a great inside linebacker for Georgia these last few years, gets hurt in early November, and a freshman steps up, and I think Georgia understood, all right, we got to go with this guy. You know, if Jamon comes back, yeah, he'll play, but he won't have the role that he's had in years past. So, you know, again, it's the Alabama game for me. That'll be Kalen DeBoer's first SEC game. There's going to be a lot of hype. That will determine if Georgia's undefeated or not. But like I said, some of those other games, they're going to be quite challenging, and Georgia's going to have to bring their A game every single Saturday.
I don't care what you say or anybody says, Jordan. I've bought into the Kentucky Wildcats trying to upset Georgia the last handful of years, and it's never happened. It doesn't happen when I buy into it. I can't. I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to convince myself that Georgia goes on the road, they beat them by 58, and they'll just move on. That's I've been burned too many times, my man.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think Mark Stoops has done a very good job there, but essentially, you know, you come to a point where if it's, you know, still around 7 or 8 wins, it kind of loses its luster. And it's a shame because he took over a program in disarray after the Joker Phillips era. But, you know, eventually you only get to stick around for so long. And I kind of wonder how much longer Mark Stoops will be in Lexington.
Yeah, and that game, it really just, for me, and I think for a lot of the country, it's just a reminder of the difference in talent that a school and a program like Kentucky, and like you said, they've done a great job, but it just shows on the field the difference in talent and the depth, too, that Georgia has compared to the Wildcats. And a reminder for Auburn fans that when Georgia goes on the road to Kentucky September 14th, they do have a bye week early before they go to Tuscaloosa and then welcome Auburn to Athens on October 5th. Jordan, before we let you get out of here, we got to get a little basketball talk in because the Tigers and the Dogs will be competing in the same event, just not against each other, as Georgia will be a part of the Holiday Hoops Giving playing Grand Canyon. Is that correct?
That's right. And I think that should make for a really interesting matchup. You look at what the Antelopes did last year. Great regular season, beat St. Mary's in the NCAA tournament. Hung around with Alabama, at least made it interesting for a little bit. Bryce Drew, former Vanderbilt coach. This will be a good test for Georgia, especially because that's a Grand Canyon team that brings back quite a bit from last season. So Georgia's looking at a situation where they've really remade their roster. I think Georgia's only got like 3 guys coming back from last year, and they were all really talented freshmen. So it's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to it. I'm really hoping that Georgia plays an early game, and then I can kind of hang around, watch these other, you know, Auburn, Ohio State, watch Florida, Arizona State. I really get my money's worth out of this trip to State Farm.
Yeah, they've continued to kind of grow the field a little bit. I don't know if it started as just the one game. I feel like it did. I know it's been 2 for quite some time. And then, yeah, they've added this 3rd game. And how exciting is that to see 3 SEC teams being represented there? And I know you always want to stick around and watch your former ride compete in a few events.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what they're up to, catch up with some of the beat riders. And, hey, the thing I'm thankful for, this is the Saturday before the playoff, because if that had happened, I probably would have been sitting in a football press box watching on my phone. I probably would not have attended this great event.
Yeah, well, with it being in Atlanta, I would hope that Georgia has a good fan turnout for basketball. And the same goes for that. If it was playoff weekend and all signs are pointing towards the Dogs making a football playoff, I don't know how many basketball fans would be making that trip to State Farm.
Yeah, yeah. There would be a few, and they would be very passionate, but there would be a whole lot of empty seats. That'd be sad to say.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 is with me every week at this time on this day. We appreciate him and all of his wonderful coverage over at Dogs 247. Tell the people how they can find it and what's coming up.
Yeah, dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at dogs247. And yeah, this has been coordinator week for Georgia. We talked to T-Rob. We talked to Glenn Schumann on Tuesday. And everybody's, every Auburn fan's favorite guy, Mike Bobo. We're going to talk to him on Thursday.
Oh,
and
boy.
Also talk to Todd Hartley. So, yeah, good chance to catch up with the coordinators, get some stories out of that. And then pretty soon we'll turn the page to the third week of fall camp and see what else is going on the practice field.
My man, I appreciate you as always. We will talk to you next week, all right?
Sounds great.
Thanks so much. That's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Go check it out. If you have a subscription to the Auburn Undercover site, the Auburn 247 site, you get access to Dogs 247. So if you're on one, you may as well go check out the other and get caught up with Jordan. But if you don't, you can always catch him right here on Wednesday starting at 2:30 on ESPN. We'll take our final break. Come back, wrap up hour number one. A reminder that Daryl Daprich is coming up with us in hour number two starting at 3:15. So you've got about 30 minutes if you want to get in on the show. 334-321-1390. That's how you call in. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Just a few minutes here left in hour number one. We'll take our top of the hour break, get back, have a quick segment to start hour number two, and then Daryl Daprich from Locked On Auburn and Auburn Daily and Montgomery, a radio legend, will be joining us at 3:15. And thank you to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 for joining us. Again, he's with us every Wednesday. All right, he's been with us. I believe we started him a year ago, right around, I think around this time. And I can't remember, man. I got so many great guests, and I've been doing this not as long as a lot of people, but long enough to just, I keep forgetting on when people actually started. But he was with us all last year, and we plan on doing that again this year. So looking forward to that. And again, looking forward to our conversation with Daryl Daprich coming up in hour number two. And I just saw something when I was scrolling through social media on the break, and it's something that I meant to talk about the other day when it happened. I just got caught up and forgot. Did you see where the NCAA issued, and this just happened a while, you know, just a short time ago, but the NCAA issued a 4-year show cause order to Jim Harbaugh for violating recruiting and inducement rules and engaging in unethical conduct during the COVID-19 pandemic. Let me say that again. The NCAA issued a 4-year show cause to Jim Harbaugh for violating recruiting and inducement rules and engaging in unethical conduct during the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you remember all the Connor Stallion stuff where they had a dude dressed up as an assistant coach going around and spying on teams and scouting and doing all that type of stuff and other recruiting things that Michigan got caught up in? But in case you forgot, Jim Harbaugh doesn't coach Michigan anymore. He's not even in college football. He's the new head coach at the Chargers in the NFL. And so the NCAA came out and said, I know you're not here anymore, but we found you. You're guilty. We got you. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You're telling me that part of this was during saying he engaged in unethical conduct during the COVID-19 pandemic. That was 4 years ago. 4 years ago. And we're just now coming out about this? You're just now wrapping up this investigation? And you're just now coming out and saying something about it? And there's a lot more to this. But that was 4 years ago. The guy's not even coaching college football anymore. And the NCAA came out and they gave him one of these as a slap on the wrist. That's what they gave him. What's even better about this, and I know the music's about to kick us out of here, a statement from Harbaugh's attorney. Are you ready for this? This is phenomenal. Quote, "The way I see it, from Coach Harbaugh's perspective, today's COI decision is like being in college and getting a letter from your high school saying you've been suspended because you didn't sign the yearbook. If I were in Coach Harbaugh's shoes and had an $80 million contract as the head coach of the Chargers, I wouldn't pay any attention to the findings of a kangaroo court which claims to represent the principles of the nation's most flagrant repeat violator of the federal antitrust laws." End quote. How about that? His attorney basically said, to heck with them, don't pay any attention. It means absolutely nothing to him now. Good job, NCAA. Y'all did a great job. You got you another one, man. Put that one in the record books for maybe one of the most pointless investigations and results, and one of the most delayed responses ever. Hour number one, in the books. Stick around. We got a lot more coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go and catch it with the podcast. Believe we had a problem with it being uploaded yesterday, so apologies for that. I will get that taken care of today, so apologies for that. I was unaware, and appreciate those of you who let me know of that anyway, and so I will take care of that, and we'll get today's uploaded there as well. You can catch that on our station website at espnau.com. That's the way to find the show after we're off the air. You can also go and listen to the show live there every day, and be sure, all right, especially as we're getting into football season, be sure that you have our brand new station app downloaded on your phone. Doesn't matter if you've got an iPhone, a Samsung. I mean, you may be able to get it on a flip phone. I don't know. I haven't tried it. Radio Alabama. All right. That's the app that you need. That's what you're going to need to listen to this show every day, The Drive, everything on ESPN. All of your Auburn University coverage over on Wings 94.3. You can also listen. That's what you're going to need for your high school coverage for Auburn High football with me on Friday nights over on Wings 94.3. Lee Scott football on AU 100 and so much more. So that is our parent company up in Sylacauga. We took all of our stations, all the different apps we had, and we put them into one. So be sure that you have the Radio Alabama app on your phone, and you can access any of our wonderful radio stations here at Auburn Network. In hour number one, we talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, got some updates from the Georgia football camp and what's going on in Athens, and seems to have a little bit of an injury bug going around over there, and that's nothing you ever want to hear, but he doesn't seem to be overly concerned, but it's on the radar of Kirby Smart right now. And also, we were able to talk to him a little bit about the Ra-Ra Thomas situation, because that happened last Thursday. Of course, Jordan's with us on Wednesdays, and so we got his thoughts on that. Really, really intriguing comments from Jordan Hill. Nothing bad by any means, just he put it in a really good way. So also talked a little basketball, as Georgia will be competing in the Holiday Hoops Giving, same as Auburn. Georgia playing Grand Canyon, Auburn will be playing Ohio State. And so that was an hour one. Also had a lot of fun talking about the defensive backs for Auburn, who seem to be making some waves in fall camp right now. So that was in the first hour. You can go catch up with that later at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour two, I actually want to talk a little high school football for just a second, because the state rankings came out today. In case you did not see this, from the Alabama Sports Writers Association, the first rankings are out today. And I saw this morning, and I believe Donnie B. talked about it over on the Donnie B. Morning Show on Wings 94.3. And there's some really interesting stuff in here. Of course, here, it's at Auburn Network. We have the Auburn High Sports Network, and we also have the Lee Scott Sports Network. Lee Scott was my ride for 2.5 years, and that is now being taken over by Christian Griffin. You can hear him with me on Tuesdays, a lot of Fridays here as well, and you'll hear me over at Auburn High. And the rankings for the class of 7A going into the 2024 season, the first preseason rankings, if you will, from, again, the Alabama Sports Writers Association. In first, going into 2024, is Central Phoenix City, right up the row, the Red Devils, right? That's an historic program. That's also your defending champs that are trying to get back after it. They were undefeated a year ago, and so you've got that going. They're the number one team in the state of Alabama in 7A. Thompson at number two, which is a lot of people's preseason pick to be state champions this year. That Thompson roster, look, if you keep up with any sort of Auburn University football recruiting, you know how good that Thompson team is. You know how stacked they are in terms of the dudes on that team. Just look at what Auburn has coming in committed right now in the 2025 class from Thompson. Do you remember this? The latest, Jared Smith, the 5-star edge that just committed to Auburn over the weekend. They're is Anquan Fagans, the 4-star safety, 6'1", 180 pounds, that Thompson has on their roster. So that's what you need to know. That's the type of dudes that they have at Thompson right now. You even have John Allen McGuire, who is coming in as well, that Auburn is all over. And so it's from the recruiting side for Auburn University, that's phenomenal. It's fantastic. We love to see Hugh Freeze and the Tigers getting back into the Thompson area and getting back into that school system, because it's difficult, man. It's really, really tough. Saban did a fantastic job, that and Central Phoenix City for that matter. But Phoenix City at one, Thompson at two. Again, these are the preseason Class 7A high school football rankings going into 2024. Central at one, Thompson two, Enterprise at three, which is really, really fascinating. And your Auburn High Tigers are at four. Hoover is at five. And goodness gracious, there is some stuff going on in Hoover right now. If you have not seen or heard anything about that, I don't know what word to put it in, to be completely honest with you. I don't know how to appropriately describe that on the radio. Just go look it up if you want to. The head coach and a coordinator were put on leave because of some videos that got out, and thankfully they did. Best way I can put it, mistreatment of players. And I'm going to leave it at that. If you want to go and do your own research, you are more than welcome to. And I don't know what the backstory is there. Frankly, I don't think there is a backstory. It's pretty crazy. So Hoover is at five, Dothan six, Mary Montgomery seven, Hewitt Trussville at eight, Vestavia at nine, and Hillcrest Tuscaloosa is at 10. And so for your Auburn High Tigers, they will play Central. They'll be at Central this year. Playing Enterprise, we'll be at Enterprise this year. That's pretty early in the season. And Dothan will have that game on the schedule as well. I mean, it's going to be a very, very tough Auburn High football schedule. But I've seen this team in person. They've got a lot. All right, this team is extremely talented with Coach Etheridge for Auburn High. And they are feeling like this year has potential, just given everything that's on the roster. You have 3 of 5 coming back on the O-line. You have a quarterback that's coming back off of injury, yes, but coming back for another year. You have Omar Mabson, who just continues to pick up D1 offers in the high school ranks. He got another one just this week, did Omar, the starting running back at Auburn High. He picked up an offer from USC, from Southern Cal. Like, the guy's got it going on, does Omar Mabson. And a reminder, too, in these rankings, the number 9 team ranked, Vestavia Hills, yeah, Auburn High hosed them week 2. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. That Dothan team, that's number 6, that's the final game of the season over at Duck Sanford Stadium. So this schedule's not easy for Auburn High. But I look at it as, I compare it to a Auburn University basketball schedule. It's not going to be easy. It's really, really tough. But if you get through it, and you get through it on the right side of it, you're going to be better because of it. And that's just 7A football, man. I mean, 7A football ain't no joke. It's legit, and I don't have to tell you guys that. Looking at 6A really quick, just to kind of give you an update there, Saraland is the number 1 team there, Parker at 2, Clay Chalkville up at 3. You've got so many big schools, man. Ramsey in 5A, the number 1 team there. Auburn High has played them in the past. You've got Leeds that's in there. 4A is Jackson at number 1. 3A, that's the class that Lee Scott's going to be in. You got Fife at the top of that, who is always a really big powerhouse in high school football. That's a team that just moved up from 2A to 3A, did Fife. So keep that one in mind. Lee Scott not in those rankings, but they haven't played public 3A ball yet. So give them a little time, and I have a feeling head coach Buster Daniel will get them in the right direction. A reminder for your high school football coverage this fall, before we get to break and get Double D in here. High school football this fall. You can have join me, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton for Auburn High on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. First game is August 23rd at home at the Duck over on Wings 94.3 against North Miami Beach. So really, really fun first game for Coach Etheridge and the Tigers. And then for Lee Scott, they will open up on that same Friday night, August 23rd. Christian Griffin will have the call for you on AU100. That's 100.3 on your radio dial as the Warriors host Excel. And excited to hear what Christian has to say and call on that game as well. So flip back and forth on Friday nights, huh? You can catch all of that on our Auburn Network family of stations. Let's get to our first break in hour 2, because Double D, Daryl Dappert, he's with us when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
On the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
It's that time on a Wednesday afternoon on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins, but you don't care about that. You care about this guy who joins us every single week, gives us 30 minutes of his time, and just makes fan bases across the SEC so mad at him, and we love it so much. Daryl Dappert, Double D, with us on the phone lines. My man, it's good to hear from you.
Man, it's great to hear from you. It's not just the SEC. I think the Vatican is coming at me pretty hard with the Notre Dame Locked on Auburn podcast that we dropped today. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. They're a fired up fan base. I'll say that for them.
Well, you know you're doing it right in radio or podcasting or journalism or anything when you've got opposing fan bases finding your content and coming after you. And you and Zach have a pretty good history of doing that.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't want people to ever think, because you know me and anybody that knows me, I'm not going to manufacture anything.
Oh,
there's
that's
not going to be, you know, manufactured outrage or a narrative just to get clicks or stir things up. I mean, when I get upset or if I share an opinion on something, it's very genuine. It's how I feel. I mean, I've sat on things and not said things that I felt, but it's not just manufactured to get that to happen. It's if it's if it's really something that I feel strongly about and it's genuine, then we'll discuss, you know, talking about it. And so that's when that kind of, it's kind of organic. It just kind of happens that way. And again, it's not anything that we come up with so that we get that to happen. It's just, it's kind of natural. So that's what it is.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I, you've been that way as long as I've known you or listened to you. And so it's genuine. I know it is. It just so happens to come out and people get upset about it. You can't help that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll always, you know, make sure that I accentuate, you know, things that are positive. It's just not going to all, if there's a rant there or something that, you know, I will set it up to try to be fair to both parties, but we'll talk more about that later about the Notre Dame situation. But
yes.
Yeah, it just happened to kind of transpire that way. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, you're right. We will get to that in the second segment of our conversation after the bottom of the hour break. I want to begin with basketball because we're just so lucky to be able to talk about basketball in August. Even with football right here upon us, we still have things to go over with Auburn basketball, and it's fun to have that luxury. And it was a poorly kept secret. I think you even said that on the show a week ago that Auburn was adding one more big name to its non-conference schedule, and that is the Buckeyes of Ohio State when Auburn will take them on in the Holiday Hoopsgiving coming up in this non-conference schedule in just a few months.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this non-conference schedule, you were sitting 2 feet to the left of me when Bruce Pearl at the ambush event, when we had the private press conference with Coach Pearl and Hugh Freeze, I asked the question about, you know, the really aggressive non-conference, and he scheduled. He was very, very pointed and said, hey, look, I've always scheduled this way. And Hugh Freeze interrupts him and looks at him and goes, no, this is overdoing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he calls him out in front of the media and says, this is overkill. And it is. I mean, I get it. I mean, he's had tough plays. He's played Gonzaga. He's played Baylor. He's played, you know, these other tournaments where he's had some good teams. This one that's coming up, you pretty much know what you're going to get. There isn't that drop-off of they made the tournament last year and then this year's team that you're facing falls off. I mean, you know, I did an article for Auburn Daily that dropped a couple days ago where I kind of rank the top five non-conference opponents. The Maui Classics in there is just one whole event because obviously Auburn doesn't know who they're going to play. You look at that field,
right,
with UConn and North Carolina and Iowa State, Michigan State, Dayton, Colorado. I mean, there's no cupcakes. As you mentioned, the Ohio State things drops yesterday, and people need to understand that Ohio State fired their head coach last year and then went on a run, like the last 10 or 11 games with the new coach. And then they went out and got four transfers. They got the Johnson kid, Michi Johnson from South Carolina. They got the Stewart kid from Kentucky. They got a kid from Duke. And they got a kid from San Diego State. So that roster that Ohio State's going to bring to State Farm Arena is going to look, you know, in early December, is going to look different. And it's going to, you know, but how does that mesh? How does that gel when you're trying to get four transfer portal additions into your starting lineup? It should be interesting. But you've still got the Purdue game. You've got the Houston game, which I ranked in number one. I think anytime you go on the road, and I'm, yes, on
yes.
the road. I know people
yes.
say, oh, it's to the Toyota Center. No. You're in Houston, Texas, and, oh, by the way, that's where the University of Houston is. So I don't want to hear this garbage. It's not a neutral site. It's on the road. And then, the Duke game, I have third, actually, at Cameron. So it's, man, there's just a lot. I mean, there's a lot of potential for KenPom and just a great opportunity for Auburn to really move up a seed line or two with how they come out of that stretch.
And what I find fascinating too, Darryl, is the fact that Auburn, and I think it's going to take some time. I've been preaching it, but it's going to take time for a lot of fans to get their heads wrapped around this, and that's not a bad thing. But Auburn doesn't have to win all of those games. They don't have to be undefeated when January comes around and they open up SEC play. And that is kind of the point of scheduling a non-conference slate like this.
Yes, that's the big difference. First of all, you know, the fans that are Auburn basketball fans that have known nothing but success with Bruce Pearl, if you come out of that stretch and you're, say, 3-3, or let's say you win a couple games in the Maui tournament and then you Invitational, and you win two of those other four, and you're 4-4 or whatever. There's that inclination to think, oh, like football. Oh, no, went 500, split during that stretch.
Oh, we're doomed.
Actually,
yeah,
and actually, that if you come out of those, if you come out of those five events, you know, the four non-conference opponents, and then the Maui Classic. If you come out of that 500. I don't care what happens in March or April when the NCAA selection committee, if you just have the kind of season I think Auburn's poised to have in the SEC conference slate, you'll move up a seed line. I mean, this way too early stuff where, you know, Lenardi puts the brackets out and they got Alabama as a 1 and Auburn as a 2. He has Auburn as a 2 because he anticipates what kind of non-conference schedule Auburn was going to play and that they'll win some of those games. Now, you don't want to get swept and not win any of those, and that's not going to happen. I think you have to win a couple just to stay on the radar. But make no mistake about it, the reason why Lenardi's got Auburn as a 2, the early projections, is because of the roster turnover. I mean, the roster is so deep and so experienced, and then the schedule. You mesh those together, and, you know, Auburn could have a really, really special year, and that's where people need to pump the brakes if they go into – the SEC tournament at the end of the year with 8 losses or 9 losses. It's okay. You could get to double digit. You could be 22-10 or 23-10 going into the NCAA tournament, and Auburn could be a 3 seed. That's the kind of schedule we're talking about. So people need to kind of look big picture. Don't panic. Keep your eye on the prize and understand that this non-conference schedule is being done for a reason, and the payoff is hopefully in March.
Now, we'll totally be fine if Bruce Pearl and the boys want to go and win all those games. We're not going to complain at all.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll say this. If Auburn was to beat Houston, because that's the first one.
Yes.
You know, that's the November
and
night.
And it's so early.
Houston,
it's so early in the schedule.
So early. It is. And then win a couple in Maui, and then sneak up on the road and beat Duke. You're talking about Auburn being like they were a few years ago, ranked number one. But here's the thing. Zach made this. We've got a podcast that drops, a little happy hour podcast that drops at 4.
Uh-oh.
We just talk about nothing but basketball, the things me and you were talking about. And Zach makes an excellent point. And I want to see your opinion of this because it creeped into my head, too, before he said it.
Okay.
I just hope Auburn fans don't go into the Duke game just happy to be there. Because it's such a mecca of college basketball. I don't want Auburn fans to go, wow, we've represented well. We're here at Duke. We're happy to be at Cameron. We're on the national stage. We've arrived, and man, we played them tough. I hope that's not the mindset that the Auburn fan base has, because, like I said, I've thought about that. That's not what you want to have happen. You want to go in there and get that W.
Yeah, I like that. And you know what? I think Auburn fans should have confidence that Auburn, the team, won't have that mindset, because Bruce Pearl's been in that position before. He's played in the best arenas in the country, and I think he'll have the maturity, and a lot of the guys on this roster will have the maturity to not have that mindset. But it could creep into the fan base. I'm with you on that, and I don't think they will, especially if they go and beat Houston and their record and team looks good early. Then, yeah, I feel like Auburn fans will not demand a win, but they're going to expect it. There's no doubt in my mind.
You need to go into that game and not focus on the venue or focus on the name on the jersey. Focus on the game itself and the athletes that are competing against each other. And
yep.
If you do that, Auburn's got a really good chance to win that game. Auburn's roster is just as good this year and deep as Duke. Now, I get it. Playing in Cameron is usually a +5, +6 advantage from a point standpoint.
At
but
least.
Again, you don't need to just go, wow, and look around and go, we're in basketball heaven, you know? No, you go in there thinking that this makes it better if we beat Duke at Duke. And that's what I agree. The team will have that mindset. Fan base just, you know, needs to understand that you go into that game expecting to win, not hoping to win.
Yeah, and so much of it, and I made this point the other day, so many of these games now, and I look at the Maui, for example. Auburn is now looped in with North Carolina, Michigan State, or, you know, any of those big name teams. It's like, wow, Auburn's in the Maui. That's, wow, what a great draw that could be. It's no longer of, oh, Auburn's there. Eh, whatever. You know what I mean, Daryl?
I do. I think that Auburn expects that. Auburn's been on a national stage now the last 3 or 4 years. If you've been to a Final Four and you compete in a Final Four, you absolutely have the recognition and Bruce Pearl, all that. I mean, so I don't think Auburn's going to be, you know, doe-eyed, wide-eyed, and go, wow, I could see this happen maybe in 2018, you know, as they started to arrive on the national scene. But they're at a level where they've played in some of these big tournaments. They've gone and played in some tough places by design. And so, yeah, I think that this stretch, though, is unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, this schedule is really very aggressive, and I get it. And I think if you're an Auburn fan, what you look at is hope and optimism that your head coach thinks enough of this current basketball team that's upcoming in this roster to play a schedule like this. So that should be a clue as to what Bruce Pearl thinks about this team and the makeup of this team.
Well, that answered a question that I was going to ask you, and I know we're up against a break. It was going to be, did Bruce Pearl do this to prove a point, or did he do it because he has confidence in this roster? And I'm with you on that. It's the confidence in this roster and the belief, Daryl, of what this team can be in 24 and 25, because there is talent all over this thing, from freshmen, sophomores, to seniors and graduates. This team is loaded for Bruce Pearl in 2024, and that non-conference schedule is no joke. We have talked a lot about that with Daryl, and we're going to talk a lot of football when we come back. How Daryl is already, he's branched out of making SEC fan bases mad. He's up in Notre Dame Irish country. We'll have that for you, plus notes from fall camp in 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, and about 15 or so more minutes with Daryl Dapper. It's Double D with us here on the show. He's with us every Wednesday at this time, and man, it's always a blast to catch up with you. And had some good basketball conversation, but got to get back to the sport that's taking over right now, and college football. And let's talk on that recruiting front for a second, because we know what this 2025 class looks like for Auburn, and the fact that they're still working, they're still not done with a top five class actively right now, I think it speaks volumes.
It does. I think you'll see some more. You know, there's still some names out there. Obviously, the big name is Deuce Knight. When's he going to flip from Notre Dame? You know, the Fong bomb hits a couple days ago, which he's pretty accurate. You know, I'm hearing that it could be closer to his high school season starting. We'll see as far as that's happening, but that it's imminent, that Deuce Knight's more than likely going to flip to Auburn. You got Lockhart, the linebacker from Winona, Mississippi, out there still.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposedly going to be committing to Auburn at any time. Sam Turner's on commit watch, the wide receiver from Southwest DeKalb that's committed to Georgia Tech. You've got the Usman Chroma, running back from Georgia, who's really, really a stud. He's down to Auburn and FSU. And then hearing some chatter and some smoke of Turbo Rogers, the kid from Montgomery, high school player that is committed to Alabama. Auburn may be in the mix from him to possibly get another flip. So there's still some big dogs to get, I think, Auburn. And then, of course, Naheem Offord, the corner that's committed to Ohio State, that's the number one player in the state of Alabama, that still's got Auburn on his radar. So you've got six or seven out there. I think if Auburn could potentially get four or five of those, you're talking about a definite top four class, and then they'll start working. I've read somewhere where Hugh Freeze really wants to have this class mostly complete when they kick it off at the end of August. And, you know, and then you start focusing on the 2026 class, which the safety Henry from Baltimore, Maryland, Wayne Henry just committed a couple days ago from St. Francis Academy, where Bryce Diaz and, Blake Woodby are from. They're mm-hmm. getting a little bit of a pipeline there. And that's important because Auburn's going after a defensive tackle from that same school who's a high four-star named Darian Smith. And I think, you know, you want to keep that pipeline going. And so, you know, they're doing that, and that's kind of a cool thing. Auburn really traditionally hasn't recruited in the state of Maryland, but I'll tell you who has, and that's Penn State, and they've had a lot of success doing that. So if Auburn can follow that blueprint and get some of those higher-ranked players out of Baltimore, the Baltimore area, it'll help. It'll definitely help. So they're really all eyes set on recruiting, and then, you know, you've got fall camp going on at the same time, and we're a couple weeks away from kicking this thing off.
I know you saw this, and so many people did, and you had some words for this, but, man, what was – and maybe they're just worried or threatened or scared, I don't know. Notre Dame fans were having a complete meltdown about Deuce Knight, and who hasn't even flipped yet, hasn't committed anywhere else. He's still technically a Notre Dame commit, but, man, when On3 and Fong came out and said that he was going to leave and go to Auburn, they lost their absolute minds.
Well, it's because the genesis of this is them looking stupid, and no one likes to look stupid. So when you come out emphatically 2 weeks ago and say it with your chest that Deuce Knight will not decommit from Notre Dame, he's not interested in anybody else, he will not visit any other school, he will not be at Big Cat Weekend, and all those things turned out to be false, you get that upset. And that's what happened. I mean, it totally transitioned from denial to anger, those phases of grief that we talk about a lot of times. And that's what's happened. And so they started to get to this realization, especially with the Fong bomb, that this is more than likely going to happen, and they absolutely lost their mind. And it's okay to be upset and be mad that you lost, you know, the quarterback in this class. But when you start taking shots at an SEC school and act so sanctimonious and holier than thou, and start to wonder out loud why someone would even consider going to Auburn, it's laughable. I love college football. I've been a college football historian since I was young. I love the tradition and the pageantry of it. I've been to Notre Dame's campus, and it was incredible. It was walking on holy ground. I love it. I love the tradition. I've always been one of those guys from afar that has respected the Notre Dame program. It felt like college football is better because of it.
Sure.
This kind of stuff, though, is why other fan bases hate them, because it's arrogant. And if you're going to go ahead and criticize a kid for wanting to play in the best conference in the land when you don't have the stones to get in a conference yourself and keep playing as an independent, shut up. And when your coach, who's got a Catholic Irish last name and the name of Kelly, leaves your university to go, guess what, down south into the SEC and goes to LSU, it's not like there hasn't been a precedent there. And that's what they're steamed about. I get it. Notre Dame is a name. They are a brand. But at the end of the day, when you're not in a conference and SEC is big boy football right now, you had every opportunity to go to the Big Ten, Notre Dame, years ago. You did not do that. So this is the thing that bothers people, is that I'm better than you. We've done nothing wrong. We're as pure as the white snow, you know. And look, I mean, they've had their share of scandals. You know it. I know it. The cameraman incident with the wind and the storm and all. You know, they need to just kind of worry about their own backyard being dirty before they start pointing out everybody else's weeds.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd have some comments about that. And you're right. You're spot on, my man. You are. Always are. And it. I gave up on them years ago. I got so tired of the "we're better than you because we're Notre Dame." Like, that's just the mindset they have, but had nothing to prove, and they've got a couple beat downs and big time games to give out, I guess. But that they've received, they haven't given any out. They've received all those, and yeah, I think this was just fuel to the fire, and it was that "oh crap" moment. You know what I mean? That's what this was.
Yeah, and the thing too. It's so weird, the symmetry. Auburn has never played Notre Dame. There was supposed to be a series years ago in the last decade or so, and I think the athletic director at Notre Dame backed out of it. I don't know all the details, but Auburn was supposed to play Notre Dame in a home-and-home. It didn't happen. I hate that. I would love for that to happen. Now, in 1988, when Notre Dame won their last national championship, when they were last relevant at a national stage, they're lucky that Tommy Hodson of LSU completed that pass in the earthquake game, because then Auburn and Notre Dame would have lined up. And I'm telling you, without Auburn defense in 1988, Auburn was no West Virginia. And that's who Notre Dame got to play in the Fiesta Bowl for the national championship before the BCS and all that. So had Auburn had the opportunity to win that game that they were up 6-0 and score, and LSU, the earthquake game, scored late, Auburn would have had a chance to play Notre Dame for the national title. They've never played. Again, it's been since 1988. Since 2010, Auburn's played for a national title twice. Notre Dame has once and got smoked by Alabama. Now, they have been in the college football playoff a couple times, but they haven't won a national title, and Auburn has since then. And so, you know, I get it. Notre Dame's relevant. They're a great program. That old argument of can you lose blue blood status? You know, if you're a blue blood in a particular sport and have been for decades, can you lose that status? Well, the answer is yes. If you go multiple decades without winning anything of anything of importance, it's happened to UCLA in basketball. Nebraska in football was a huge blue blood.
Absolutely.
I don't consider them that anymore. So that's kind of like Notre Dame. They're teetering on that. And if Marcus Freeman can't get them in the playoff this year and win a game or two, you know, the relevancy is just not there. To be looking down at other programs in the SEC like that is basically the point.
Especially in the SEC. And now with the expanded college football playoff, where Notre Dame, as long as they do and handle their business, they should have an open invitation just about every year, I would think. And the SEC is going to have quadruple the amount of teams in the new college football playoff. We could talk about this all day, Darryl, but I do want to get to some fall camp notes. And the thing that I talked about to start the show today, the DBs seem to be taking over fall practice, fall camp for Auburn, making plays all over the field. The receivers are going to be fine, but man, I'm excited about the young guys in the corners and safeties rooms.
Yeah, J.C. Hart's name keeps popping up, and I love that because a couple years ago when he signed with Auburn, people kept saying, watch out for this kid. He's raw. He's got untapped potential. Let him get into a defensive backfield like Auburn with a tradition of developing defensive backs. I've heard a lot about him. We keep hearing a lot about Kane Lee, who is just a sophomore, but you feel like he's a senior. Just a lot of the safeties are coming on. The nickel, Champ Anthony, hearing good things about him. Keontae Scott's going to be a fixture. But some of the names I thought I would hear from a secondary standpoint we're hearing, but it's just the ones that are kind of unexpected. And it's so much so that I'm hearing Laquan Robinson, who is the JUCO All-American safety that Auburn signed to be a thumper on the back end, is now getting a lot of reps at linebacker. That's how good this secondary is. Sylvester Smith. Some of these guys, I love it. And Auburn has gotten the reputation, even under the great potato famine under Brian Harsin, where they struggled to get guys in the league. Guys like Roger McCreary still got drafted. And you've got, under Gus, you had, Jamal Dean and Carlton Davis and some of those guys. So I think it's great, and I think that the secondary is going to be very – and here's the key, Jacob. If Auburn can get any kind of pass rush with Jalen McLeod stepping up this year and Keyron Crawford and, Falk on the outside and some of these defensive linemen that came in the portal, if Auburn can get any kind of pass rush at all, that secondary is going to eat. And they have the potential to be, ball hawks. And if Auburn starts getting turnovers and putting this offense in good position on the field where they don't have to go the length of the field and it's a short field with Thorne and these receivers he has to throw to and guys like Jarquez Hunter, who's on the Doak Walker watch list, I think that, you're going to see the offense be so much more efficient anyway. So the defense and the secondary – could really help shorten the field, turn turnovers into points, get Auburn out in front of a lot of these games,
yes.
Especially the games that, that are pick-em games. And how about Robert Lewis? So we've been talking about, don't sleep on him. Everyone talks about Coleman and KLS and all that. We kept saying Robert Lewis is a stud. He's a good receiver. He, out of all the Auburn receivers, is on the Biletnikoff watch list today that comes out. That speaks volumes about this receiver room, because most people had him as like the third option in the receiver room behind KLS and Cam Coleman, and this cat's on the Biletnikoff watch. So buckle up. It's going to be fun, and I think the defense can set the tone in a lot of these games. They really can.
Yeah, you said a few things there. I had that earlier in the show where I said, it's time for Auburn to get out in front. How about opening drive touchdowns offensively? That would be cool, right? Or how about going back-to-back offensive touchdown drives and things like that? But a couple of the things you said that I failed to mention is defensive line pressure on the quarterback, which Auburn has failed to do the last handful of years. And I think that has degraded the secondary that Auburn, yes, it's been thin the last handful of years, but there's still been some dudes in that room, but man, they can't defend for 15 seconds at a time, and I failed to mention that today.
That's where you get, yeah, Auburn's secondary, for the lack of pass rush, has done a yeoman's job the last couple of years. They really are.
I agree.
Absolutely give them credit. And then, you know, I think you get back to the type of level of play where you start not having to worry about just staying on an island and covering your guy for so long and so long and so long. When the play breaks down, you can start jumping routes. You can start bringing safeties. You can start doing a couple of different things and gamble a little bit more with the ball in the air, high point the ball, turn your head, you know, as a boundary corner and shade and chase and all that kind of stuff that you can't do if you're afraid of, man, the quarterback's going to have 6-7 seconds to throw.
Yeah, if you're fighting for your life back there.
You are, and you can't. It's just no one can cover like that. So I think the linebackers are really, really have potential to be really special, really deep, really seasoned. That's DJ Durkin's specialty. Again, McLeod, Falk, and Keyron Crawford are the keys to me. If they eat, if they get some sacks, and they put pressure on the quarterback, Asante and Cote and Keys and some of those guys in Mausi, you know, they cover tight ends out of the backfield, whatever. If they bring them on some blitzes as well, then Auburn has the potential to get a lot of turnovers. And, again, short fields lead to a lot of points. And that's exactly what I think from a confidence standpoint that this offense needs.
24 days away, my man. We're 24 Woo! Days away from Auburn football kicking off. Even sooner than that for high school football, week zero of college football. I mean, it's here. There ain't no doubt about it. It is here. Fall practice is almost a full week in for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers. They'll have a press conference on Friday, so looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Daryl Dapperich, he's with us every Wednesday for Double D Wednesdays, 315 to 345. Tell the people where they can find you because you're everywhere at this point.
Well, you can catch me Wednesdays and Fridays wherever you get your podcast, Locked on Auburn with Zach Blackerby. Monday mornings with Ben Taylor at 7:10 on WANI with you Wednesday afternoons. And then I'm doing some written work for Auburn Daily. Got a basketball article that just dropped 2 days ago.
Awesome. My man, I appreciate you. Get back after it. We'll have you on again on Wednesday, okay?
Sounds good, brother. Take care.
Thanks so much. That's Double D, Daryl Dapperich. Go find him on X. He's very active there. Loves to carry over the emotion from a podcast or his radio hits onto social media. Here's the thing you need to know about Daryl. He's the nicest man you're ever going to meet. Ever in your life. The most caring, the most loyal, the most real person you're ever going to meet. He fits the narrative of this show so well. He tells you like it is, and he does not hold back. I promise you that. And that's why I've been told he's become a fan favorite of this program. So, my man Daryl, we appreciate him. He's with us every Wednesday, 3:15 to 3:45. We'll come back, wrap it up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Don't go anywhere.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I appreciate you all being with me here today from 2 to 4. 2 hours each and every day, man. You and me with a guest every day, appearances in the studio. We got all sorts of things going on here from 2 to 4 during On the Line. And so if you missed any of today's show or any other show, you can go and listen back to it as a podcast form. You can find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. That's ESPNAU.com, our station website, or on our Radio Alabama app, okay? Be sure you have that downloaded on your phone. You'll have that for all of our shows on ESPN and all of our other radio stations as well. Today, lots of defensive talk on the show because that seems to be what's making the most noise at fall camp for Hugh Freeze and Auburn right now, and I'm sure that is to the music to the ears of DJ Durkin, who has just gotten so much praise for Auburn on the defensive side, and so had a lot of conversation about that today. We had Jordan Hill of Dogs 2 24/7 on to give us updates from Georgia's fall camp. And if you didn't hear that, go back and listen to that, okay? There's things in there you need to hear about some injury problems over there. Also, got his thoughts and opinion on the Ra Ra Thomas situation, which I found fascinating, and a whole lot more. So that was in the first hour. We had a little high school football talk here in hour number two. How about that? With the preseason rankings being released today by the Alabama Sports Writers Association, and Auburn High School is the fourth ranked team in Class 7A going into 2024. So Coach Atherton, the boys are up there near the top. And then just got off the phone with Double D Daryl Dapperidge. We had a lot of good basketball talk with the new schedule, with the roster, everything like that, and then talked about football as well, since Notre Dame fans are just up in arms, man. They don't know what's going on up there in South Bend, and Auburn is the cause of that. And so had that plus some fall camp talk as well. That was all on today's show. Coming up tomorrow on the Thursday edition of On the Line, we will have a couple of guests. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC will be with us in hour two. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be with us in hour number one. So that's exciting. And then a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Christian Griffin will join me back in studio. No Uncle T-Bone Friday. He'll be back on Monday. And it's free-for-all Friday. You never know what we're going to get into when that time comes. We'll keep you updated as well on the Olympics, where the United States has they've pulled ahead now. They have done what they needed to do. As of right now, they have 94 overall medals at the Paris Olympics. Second is China with 65. And the one that everybody's concerned with, how many golds does the United States have? They have 27. China has 25. See, the United States has pulled ahead. They've had the overall lead, and that's not going anywhere. But they have a two medal lead. Yeah, that's how you say that. Two medal lead over China in the gold category. The U.S. with 27 golds, 35 silvers, and 32 bronze. So they've got the lead in every single category. The United States, you got some track going on right now. The basketball team will be back in action after winning the other day. And so that's still happening. And what's cool is the Olympics are pretty much going to lead us right up to football season. Not all the way there, but pretty close, because 2.5 weeks from high school and, 3.5 weeks from college. So there you go. There's a lot going on in the world. Again, I appreciate you being here. And, hey, shout out to the Orthopedic Clinic, who brings you the second hour each and every day. We appreciate them bringing you from 3 to 4. Check them out at theorthoclinic.com. I will be back tomorrow. It's you and me once again, but Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network and Chris Gordy from the Locked On SEC podcast. That's what's on the schedule for tomorrow, so be sure you come back. All right, Bill and Dan coming up. Jason Caldwell, I see him out there. He'll be here from Auburn Undercover as well. So we are getting through this Wednesday, and you've got two more hours of coverage right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, on ESPN 106.7. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.